The Fitz Group. I'm glad you tuned in today. We're going to discuss, as you can probably tell by the title of the email, but we're discussing the Fidelity and Guarantee Life application. Everyone should already have received their starter kits, where in the supplies section you'll find a life application. So if you want to go to that and follow along. Also linked the attachment to the email that this was linked to has a document explaining some of the most common areas of mistake by new agents. Okay, so we're going to point some of those things out, but we're going to go through this application basically with a fine-tooth comb to see if we can head off any possible delays in your getting paid. Okay, that's what the objective is for this session. In the first page of the application, we're looking in the primary insured area. We're looking for the client's full name, first name, middle initial, and last name. I know that there are a lot of folks that may not have a middle initial. The company has asked, instead of leaving it blank, making it look like we might have forgotten that, if we'll just put in parentheses to the side that there's no middle initial. That's a key item there. The home address should consist of their house number, their street name, their city, their state, and their zip code. Most frequently, the city, state, and date are left off. House number and street name, yes. City, state, and date are usually left off. So if you would just make sure that you put the complete address for the client. We do need the client's Social Security number. If they don't have a Social Security number, they won't be able to get coverage through Fidelity and Guarantee Life. Work visas won't work. They've got to have some sort of a Social Security number, typically tied to permanent residency. We need to know the client's sex, their marital status, their date of birth, where they were born, Dallas, Texas, and the companies have also told us that it just needs to be the state or the country. So if you have someone who was born in Mexico, just put Mexico. You don't have to put, you know, the whole city name and then the country. You don't even have to put Dallas, Texas, or Akron, Ohio. Just put the state. We do need their height and weight. We need to know if they're currently employed. Okay, that does make a difference. If they are currently employed, what do they do for a living and what exactly do they do there? Okay, some occupations are, you know, self-explanatory. I've had the occasion where I had to, I didn't know what the occupation meant. And I had to get, I had to ask exactly what do you do with that occupation? And you need to put that in there. Where do they work? Their place of employment. How long have they been with their current employer? Their earned annual income, basically off last year's W-2. Okay, I always ask the client for a ballpark annual income. Their driver's license number with the issued state. Okay, typically the issued state's going to be left off of there. We get the numbers just fine, but we don't know what state it's issued in. Okay, keep in mind, we can't assume anything. The insurance company's not going to assume anything. So we need to make sure that we get the issued state. Just because they live in Oklahoma or Texas does not necessarily mean that their driver's license is issued there. Okay. Their daytime phone number, their evening phone number, the best time to call. And if they have an email address, which a lot of us do now, we'll put that in there. I let the client know it's mainly for my purposes. As a client also, I've never received an email from the company on the client side. I've always received it on the professional side dealing with pending issues. The other insured section, you know, we go over in the training how there should be two applications for a husband and a wife. In the rare occasion that you would write one application on both parties, this is where you would put the second insured. Basically the same information as the primary, but you're going to need to put the relationship to the primary insured, spouse typically. Okay. There's an owner section. Typically we're not filling that out because the owner is the primary insured. Now you may have parents buying a policy on their children. you know, something of a UL type of product, they would be the owners of the policy, where the kids are the insured. You may find yourself going with a key man policy with a bit, you know, in business for a company, and the company would be the owners of the policy. So you would need to fill in this information, make sure you get the relationship. And notice it says Social Security number or tax ID number, because in a key man situation, the company would be the owners as well as the beneficiaries. Good segue into the beneficiary designation area. Under the primary and the contingent beneficiaries, we need to know their full name, okay? Their relationship to the insured and the percentage that is shared. So in this example, if Tom Jones is the primary and his wife Mary is going to be the primary beneficiary, we need to write Mary Jones, spouse, 100%. Contingent beneficiaries, Tom Jones Jr., son, Nancy Jones, daughter, 50%, 50%. Okay? A lot of times the percentage is missing, and a lot of times the relationship to the spouse is missing. If you do have another insured in the application, please know that the beneficiary designation is automatically going to be the primary unless you state otherwise in the additional information section. Okay, so if we did have Mary on this policy, then Tom is automatically made the primary beneficiary unless we were to make notes of that on the additional information page, which is on page 8. But rule of thumb, always write two applications. You're not going to have to worry about a lot of that. Page 2 is where we develop the product. You develop the program for the client. This is where we take it from your computer or your proposal to the application. Product name, in this example, is going to be Home Certain, because that's what we do a lot of. That's how you're, you know, that's what the lead is dealing with when these folks respond. The amount of insurance is the amount of coverage applying for. The initial premium would be the monthly premium that you quote, or if you're quoting quarterly, typically it's going to be monthly. And you need to mark tobacco or non-tobacco. We're going to stick with the term level, okay? Rarely are you going to do a decreasing term. We need to make sure we fill in the term period. In this example, I'm going to use 30 years, okay? What a lot of folks do not fill in is the premium guarantee period. And I don't know if it's just confusing in the training or just something that they forget from the training, but we need to know what the guarantee period is going to be for that premium. Just to refresh your memory in the training, we have to, if we want, okay, Home Certain has a guarantee period automatically on the product. A 30-year term is going to have an automatic guarantee of 15 years. If we want to extend that guarantee to the remainder of the 30-year term, we have to purchase the rider, the extended premium guarantee rider. Okay? If you sell that, then on a 30-year term, your premium guarantee period would be 30. If you don't have it on there, your premium guarantee period on a 30-year term would be 15. Okay? Now, if you do sell the premium guarantee rider, we need to go down to the bottom in the riders area and mark other. We bubble things in on this application. We don't X them or check them or slash them or mark through anything. We want to bubble the riders that we want included on the policy. You would bubble in other and just write in extended premium guarantee, or I abbreviate it with EPG. Okay, it's accepted by the company, and I'm all about keeping it simple. So. Anyway, I didn't mean to jump down, but that's where it correlates. The universal life area, if you were to sell a universal life policy, you'll be happy to know that this one application with F&G is good for all of their products. If you sell the Secure Master, which is the non-med universal life policy up to $100,000 and issue age to 85. So if you get leads that are over the age of 70 and we can't write Home Certain, go with the Secure Master and use the Universal Life section here. The mode of payment typically is going to be monthly, but whatever mode of payment that you guys agree upon or decide upon is what you should bubble in: monthly, quarterly, bi-weekly. Okay. The next box is going to be the payment in exchange for the conditional receipt. That is, you know, what did they give you? They should be giving you the first month's premium with the application, or the first mode of payment. If they're going quarterly, they need to give you quarterly premium up front, and then they're covered for the next 3 months, and they'll get a bill in the mail. But you're going to find most of the time it's going to be a monthly premium. Okay, if you do happen to do a biweekly payment, it's not going to be monthly divided by two, because that's not the way it works. You do need to figure that up with your computer system, and collect two biweekly payments in exchange for the conditional receipt. Okay, the initial payment can be put on a credit card. If they do go monthly, the initial monthly payment can be put on a credit card, but subsequent drafts will not be done on a credit card. They'll have to come out of a checking or a savings account, and you'll need to either have a voided check or a bank verification form, which you'll find in your starter kit and supplies in the life applications and coordinating forms area. Going down into the additional benefits for the primary insured, HomeCertain does not have an accelerated benefit rider. But if in the chance that you do ride something that's fully medically underwritten, the accelerated benefit rider is applicable to everything but HomeCertain. Okay, the accidental death benefit rider, though, is applicable to HomeCertain, to clients that are under the age of 60. And what I typically do is I bubble it in. It says amount. Instead of trying to figure up an amount, I know some of the math is pretty easy. I just write the word free, and this way you've got no chance of having an amendment because you put the wrong amount in. Again, keep it simple. The critical illness rider benefit, if you sold that to the client, you must put in the amount. Typically, we do a monthly benefit for 24 months. Let's just, for the sake of this example, say we're applying for $100,000 in coverage, and the critical illness benefit would be $1,000 a month for 24 months. So I would just write in this blank $1,000 times 24 months. And you can see to the right here that a supplemental questionnaire is required with the application. That can be found in your starter kit with life application and coordinating forms in the supplies area. Okay, the disability income rider. On the starter kit, you'll find a disability income occupation guide. With HomeCertain, a class is going to be HC for HomeCertain. With any of the medically underwritten products, they're going to be rated by their occupation. Policemen, firemen don't qualify for disability. Okay, and so you're going to find in the rate guide, I mean in the occupation guide, you'll find the rate classes go 1 through 4. As long as there's a 1 through 4 by the occupation, they qualify for disability with HomeCertain. If you're going with a fully medically underwritten product, you need to use the rate class that's provided there, 1 through 4. 1 being the lowest, 4 being the highest rating. Okay? It is going to be a huge advantage to go with HomeCertain in most cases, especially on disability. Classes HC, monthly payout, again for this $100,000 example, monthly payout $1,000 a month, and then we bubble in 3 month elimination to your benefit. That's the only choice we have. Return of premium rider, if that's been put on in the proposal, where they get all their money back at the end of the term, then we need to make sure we bubble it in here. Ultimate income option, if you have the death benefit paid out over time versus a full lump sum at, once, then you need to make sure that you copy the payout plan from the proposal, and also print off the proposal and attach it to this application. So you don't have to do that. The illustration does not need to be signed by the client, so that's nice because you can go back to the office and print it off and then send it off with the application. Waiver of monthly deduction only is for universal life policies. Waiver of premium rider is for term policies. So if you put the waiver of premium, or if they become disabled, and for after 6 months of being disabled, the company waives the premium for the duration of their disability or until the term of their program runs out. It also gives them a reimbursement for those 6 months of those initial 6 months that they had to pay their premiums. So make sure you use the term only waiver of premium. There is a child rider. If you went through the training, you remember that we recommend, you know, if they've got one or two kids, to go with a universal life program individually. If they've got, you know, four or five kids, then you might want to go with a child term rider. And there is another questionnaire that's going to be needed to be signed by the client and filled out by you, with the kid's social security numbers, height and weight, doctor, stuff like that. Again, in the starter kits, in the supplies area, with the life apps and coordinating forms. And we already discussed other is really all I've ever used other for was the extended premium guarantee. And again, please make sure that that's being noted if you're selling that. Okay. On page 3, this is where we'd put other insured benefits. If we happen to write other insured, we would bubble in other insured, the face amount. Let's say we're applying for the same $100,000 in the term period for 30 years. Okay. If the other insured is also applying for disability, same thing. We have to find their occupation on the occupation guide and see what their rating is. If there's a rating of 1 through 4, then it's good for home certain. If there's no rating of 1, if there's a 0, they don't qualify for disability. And then you put the monthly payout of $1,000 with the 3-month elimination. Okay? Again, all these numbers are just examples. Please keep that in mind. Existing insurance, if they've got other life policies or disability policies, we need to make sure we note it with the insurance company. Is it a term policy? Is it a UL policy? Is it accidental death and dismemberment? The amount of life insurance or disability coverage, the amount of accidental death benefit that they might have, and the year it was issued. Okay. The first three questions here, are we replacing anything? Yes or no. Is there any insurance applications pending currently? Yes or no. And have you had any insurance application declined, postponed, rated, or modified? Yes or no. All yes answers need to be detailed. So if they've been declined, we need to know when that decline happened, who declined them, what for, who, what, when, I guess not where, but anyway, give them some details. Home Certain is a very simplified underwriting. It's accepted or rejected. And so the company considers us field underwriters, and it's our job as field underwriters to make sure that we're taking notes so that the main underwriter is able to make an objective decision. On page 4, getting into the personal history questions, are you a citizen of the United States? Yes or no? This will be the only yes answer. You don't really have to detail, okay? But if it's a no answer, we need to know what their citizenship status is. Are they permanent residents? Typically, that would be the case. Also, any yes answers on this page, especially dealing with 2, 5, and 6, we have supplemental questionnaires that are going to need to be answered and sent along with the application. You should be able to find in your starter kit a field underwriting guidebook, or we call it the Blue Book. This is a guidebook that you want to carry on you in appointments so that if someone does come up with having had to receive treatment for alcohol abuse, then you've got to get some questions answered pertaining to that subject. Okay? So look in the starter kit. If you haven't gone through there yet, just something you're really going to want to explore in depth, because there's a lot of good documents that you're going to need in that supplies area for being out in the field. Question 11 on page 4 is the home certain question. That's where we document their mortgage information. It's basically the mortgage certification question. Have they, in the last 13 months, contracted for a home mortgage or refinanced an existing mortgage? If yes, please list the amount of the mortgage or refinancing and the name and address of the lending institution. That's the only information we need to provide in the space below. Okay, so that's page 4. Again, any yes answers on page 4. There's blue book. There's questions in the blue book that should be answered. If you look in the supplies area, there should be a folder that's supplemental questions. You can, you know, have some printed off and take with you. You can also, if you'll print off the blue book and carry that, you can just answer the questions. I will tell you that any of the blue book questions that you print off, that there were documents on the starter kit, you can print those off, answer the questions, and there's no signature required. Any of these supplemental questionnaires that are in PDF files are official F&G questionnaires that do require signatures. So, again, I keep it simple. I like carrying the blue book with me, answering the questions, and then making it nice and neat back at the office with the blue book questions, from the computer, print it off, and stick it in my application. Page 5, we need to know their personal physician. HomeCertain's not going to require an APS. They're not going to do a physical. But if you've got a client who's an orally medicated diabetic or is hypertensive and treating it with medication, please put the physician down. We don't want to put none, and then the next page shows that they're diabetic, and we put that there's no doctor. That's not going to look real good for you or the client with the insurance company. So provide that information, and also if the other insured is on this app, then provide that client's physician information as well. Page 6 of 8 is the medical history questions, and any yes answers on this page need to have detailed answers. And again, you can find most of these questions for these answers in the blue book. They're also in the starter kits in that supplemental questions folder. But there are questions that need to be answered. One of the things I will mention is that if you go through here and you mistakenly mark yes and you're changing it to no, or you mark no and it's supposed to be yes, we've had several incidents where we've just changed it, circled the right answer, and put initials in. The company doesn't like that. They create amendments for changing those answers because this is a binding contract and the company has to make sure the client understands the changes that were made. And so if you've done something like that, it's in your best interest as far as any sort of delays to just rewrite the page. Take the extra time, rewrite the page, and just send in a nice clean page instead of, you know, a bunch of scratch outs and circles and initials. It's just not worth it. Also, we are needing details. It's not good enough to mark yes that there's high blood pressure and circle high blood pressure. We've got questions that have to be answered, and so I can't stress enough to you, especially with the HomeCertain being as simplified underwritten as it is our job as the agent or field underwriter in the insurance company's eyes that we provide enough information for them to make a decision. Page 7 of 8, this is where the client signs the application. Typically, you're going to see on the signature page, the company's asking for their city, state, and date. This is where they signed it. We signed it in Dallas, Texas on, June the 6th of 2006. And then the client would sign right below it. If there is another insured, the client would sign right below that signature. And we stress on this page heavily because a lot of agents will, number one, they'll put the city, state, and zip code. It needs to be the date. And sometimes agents don't fill out the bottom half, which is the money part of this application, because if this isn't filled out with your information, it's hard for you to get paid. So make sure that you sign it, you date it, you print your name, it's legible, your agent number is legible, your phone numbers and your email address are all legible, okay? If you do tend to write with your feet, we always ask that you at least take your socks and shoes off before you do that, because it does make it hard. As we're scrubbing the apps here, it makes it hard to, make out some stuff. And I can only imagine what the insurance company's thinking. So that's page 7. Don't forget to answer the 2 questions there in the agent certification. And just remember, it's bubbles. It's all bubbles throughout this whole thing, because the company scans this in. Page 8 of 8, the additional info page that we mentioned on page 1. If you have to use this section for additional information, you're going to need to get the client's signature at the bottom of the page. If you live in one of the fraud states listed here in the second half, if you live in a state that's listed, the client must understand the fraud warning statement and sign it. In Ohio, they have to initial it as well. So if you don't live in a fraud state and you don't need it for additional info, just leave it alone. We had an agent that wrote none, and the company requested a signature on the page. And so, we do a lot of living and learning. So do not, if there's no information, just leave it blank. If you don't live in a fraud state, just leave it alone. And just remember, if you do use it for additional info, it's got to be signed. If you live in a fraud state, it's got to be signed. The 2 pages following page 8 are the conditional receipt. This is the receipt that is left for the initial payment being taken with the application. With HomeCertain, the only condition for the receipt is the first payment. So upon receipt of the first payment, the client would be conditionally covered, which is not temporary insurance. It's just meaning that during underwriting, if the client were to die, then a death claim could be made, and if the company found that they were going to approve this policy, then a death claim could be paid. Okay, so if you don't collect, you're always going to collect first month's premium, and that's the only way you would receive or leave the conditional receipt. You want to make sure that you write in who you received the check from, the amount of the check, the city and state, again, that you wrote it in, the date, and you sign it. And that's that page and the very next one. The last page, the back page of the application, is the pre-authorized checking, okay? Affectionately called the PAC form. This is where you would take one check for the payment and then ask for another check voided, because I just used to make a copy of the check they gave me, and came to find out that my copy, once it was scanned in at the company, a lot of times was a mess. It just wasn't legible. And so I had to go through the hassle of trying to contact the client and get another check, and it's just a delay. It's a delay in getting the policy issued, and it's a delay in getting paid. So always get one check for the payment, one check voided. Attach that voided check here in the section where it says please attach a voided check here, and make sure whoever signs the check signs the PAC form. Okay, I want to make sure that you pay close attention to, sometimes I've written a policy on a husband. I met with husband and wife for budget reasons. They only covered the husband. The wife wrote the check, and I had the husband sign this form, and then looked at the check in scrubbing, and he's not on the check. It's just her on the check. So my rule of thumb is whoever writes the check signs this form. Okay? And in the event they don't have a check, you can, they do have a checking account, but they don't have check on them, you can get the initial payment from a debit card or a credit card, like we mentioned in the second page. But there's also the bank account verification form that you would have to have signed by the client and filled in with their account and routing information so that it would be used in place of a voided check. That's the bank account verification form. Okay. I want to make sure that's the whole application. I want to be sure that you understand once you've turned in the once you've completed the application. Okay, we just went over the app as if we were applying for home certain. You also want to make sure that you get an HIV and a HIPAA form signed by the client. It's just good practice to be in, especially getting started. You don't want to have to wonder, do I need it here? Do I need it there? Just do it anyway. If you are a Texas agent, be sure to bring along the indeterminate premium form that's on the starter kit. Right now, it's just in Texas, Montana, and New York. So as far as we're concerned right now, that's we don't have any agents in New York or Montana. But you need to get that form signed as well. So HIV, HIPAA, and where needed, that indeterminate premium form would need to be signed. You get all that squared away, and you have to send it somewhere. All your business, just like your contracts, your business comes through this office. And the reason for that is we want to make sure you get credit for the work you've done. To send it directly in is not going to do anybody a bit of good because if it goes directly to the carrier, you're not going to get credit for the leads you've been given with us, and it is app count and annual premiums that determine what kind of leads you're given or the number of leads you're given. So remember, all of your paperwork comes through here. You make a copy of it for yourself because it is your business. So if you need it, if you have a copy on hand, which in the beginning I didn't do, but I had to learn the hard way that it's always best to have a copy of your applications on hand, especially if you're dealing with pending and you need to reference those applications. But once we get them here, we scrub them, we go through them and make sure that things are in the proper order, and we send it off to National Agents Alliance where you get credit for your business there, and they even scrub it. And because we've scrubbed it here, it doesn't have to sit at NAA for longer than the one day, and it gets right off to F&G. And F&G gets a very nice, clean application. And that's what's going to help you get paid quickly. So, in case you didn't catch it in the Good to Know number sheet, our address is 4004 Belt Line Road. That's one word, BELTLINE Road. Suite 140, Addison, Addison, Texas, 75001. Okay, a lot of you folks have already talked to me. I'm Jason Bruno. If you have any questions or concerns, you are always welcome to give us a call. You can call me if I'm not available. Vern Geyer is here. Just know we're on the phone quite a bit during the day, and we're able to while we're we might be dragged into some conference calls sometimes, we can always answer emails. So emails are the easiest way, but and if we need to speak with you just because we think it's going to be the easier explanation, then we'll give you a call, but you're always welcome to give this office a call. The number here is 972-386-5776. I'm Bruno at thefitzgrouponline.com. You can always just reply to these emails that you got the this link from that you're listening to this audio. Okay? Utilize this info, make yourselves better. That's the only reason we put these trainings together. I'm so thankful that we actually had folks to sit down and share these tidbits with me. And so all I'm trying to do is make sure you get the same tidbits and make it a little bit easier from the get-go, because there was some things that I didn't know and I didn't learn right away. And hopefully trainings like this will help you get started a little bit faster than maybe I did. So we look forward to seeing you on the leaderboard, and thanks for tuning in.